is time to put away the bias, the lies, and deceit and bring forth real talk from real people about real news. Providing the out loud truth and capturing the essence of a new generation all in a fast-paced hour. This is Viewpoint This Sunday.
Welcome to another Viewpoint This Sunday. This is Malcolm Out Loud. Well, we all predicted this might happen, and former FBI Deputy Director Andrew McCabe has been fired. And we suspected this was going to happen. The Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, made that decision here just a couple days ago here. So pretty hot news here to talk about at the top here. As well, what about Comey? Where does he fit into all of this? We are wondering as well. And then, of course, there's a lot of changes in the White House. People are, they're suspect on what's really going on there. We'll discuss that as well. North Korea, that's pretty top of the news here, of course. We're watching that very carefully with Kim Jong-un and President Trump when that takes place. And then we've got a deeper look panel discussion about the midterm elections in the program here. And so much news here, friends. We'll never fit it all in here. Let's get to the top of the show here, please. And welcome onto the show here. Colonel Jim Warshuk is here. He's retired from United States Air Force. He is a career senior intelligence and special missions officer. He served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command and has worked on the White House National Security Council. And it's good to have Colonel Warshuk here. So the big story here, and let me set this up for folks so everybody understands what's taking place here. So days before his formal retirement now, okay, so follow this here. Attorney General Sessions, he fires this former deputy director. Now, remember now, McCabe was also actually, for a short period of time, he was actually FBI director before Christopher Wray was appointed, between Comey and Wray, interestingly enough. But, of course, he didn't get the nod for the top spot on a permanent basis. So he has he announced that he was officially stepping down from his post in late January, but was using his accrued leave to stay on the FBI's payroll until his retirement day on Sunday, his 50th birthday. Doesn't look like it's going to be a grand 50th birthday at this point. McCabe and his attorney met Thursday with Scott Schools, the highest-ranking career employee of the Justice Department. And, of course, there was an attempt to plead and prevent the firing and save his ability to collect his pension up front. Now, what happens is, there's been a lot of speculation, Colonel, about this pension. I've heard all kinds of things. He's going to get parts. But actually, what I do understand is being fired before the birthday, the 50th, means he'll have to wait at least several more years before he can draw this pension. So it definitely has a hit on him, as well as, again, we don't even know where this story is going to end. Some people are speculating he may be wearing orange before the this program is done. What's your take on this with Andrew McCabe here?
Well, this is an interesting dynamic with regard to how this works, both with his pension and what's going to happen next with him. The other shoe is almost certainly, I think, going to drop. They are looking at potential criminal charges against him, which would, in fact, as you said, cause him to be wearing orange at some point. I suspect that those additional hearings may come about probably in the summer. I think that's where most of the analysis I have seen says that will occur. A few other things have to happen with some other people in the FBI as well as in the Justice Department. So more to come on that. As far as this pension, you know, when you get into government pensions, there's all kinds of rules. Being a military officer retired, we tend to follow similar rules. He was on his what we call the military terminal leave, and he got to use that accrued vacation time, so to speak, that he didn't get to use while he was serving in his capacity as an FBI officer. So he's finishing up that. Whether there, because of the firing, there's some administrative aspects to whether he gets a portion of it or not remains to be seen. As I said, the details of how that works are pretty pretty detailed and stringent. A lot of it will come down to what type of criminal charges, and if he's found guilty of that, I think he'll pretty much lose everything.
Well, yeah, this may be the easiest part of the story for him. I mean, if you follow this carefully. So let's talk about the tip of the iceberg here, a moment here. So, and remember now, friends, FBI officials are barred from disclosing information about ongoing criminal investigations. Now, the New York Times comes out and reports that the Justice Department's Inspector General, now remember, this Inspector General Horowitz, we've got this big IG report that has been really built up, which we are supposed to be seeing sometime in the next month or so. Now, you got to remember, Sessions is seeing this report already. They know what's happening here. So there's a lot more happening that we don't really know. There's a lot more evidence in here we really don't know. And all of this would have impacted, obviously, this firing of McCabe. I don't think they take this lightly. But here's a big thing I want to throw at you. So, again, I comment on the IG Horowitz and this report itself and what you think about this, because I think there's a lot more there than meets the eye that we don't really know yet. But the other thing I want to ask you, Colonel, is why 2 days before his retirement? Why didn't they do this 90 days ago? Why not 60 days ago? Why not 30 days ago? Why the last-minute drama?
Well, I think a lot of it had to do with the IG report, and I've been warning people about this IG report for some time in my writings and in previous shows with you. Yeah. This IG report is going to be pretty excruciating. In fact, it's been described as, when you compare it to Nunes's report from the U.S. Congressional Intelligence Committee, that report was milquetoast compared to what this IG report is. And we had to wait for this IG report to be finished. In fact, it's still not completely finished. It's in its final draft format, the way I was described of it yesterday. But it is finalized enough where they could utilize the information in it and apply it to the decision. I think they were really rushing as to do
this. I think
this
you're right. I think you're
because,
right.
Yeah. Because here's the other thing.
Makes sense.
If they didn't fire him and he was allowed to retire, when this IG report comes out in a few more weeks, it would have been more embarrassing, because people would have said, my gosh, look at the evidence here on what McCabe did.
Right.
Why didn't you fire him when you had the opportunity? So, you know, it's just one of those.
Yeah, there's always more than meets the eye. Yeah, there's always more than we really know, Jim. So that makes perfect sense. Now I get it. I mean, obviously, I can see where Sessions would be going back and forth with Horowitz. They're crossing the T's, because really, you got to remember here now as well, the FBI's Office of Professional Responsibility, they recommended him to be fired. So this, you know, anybody who's pointing to the president or what have you, and there are many media outlets today even pointing to the president, I don't think it was so much him. I don't think Sessions would have bowed to that. I think Sessions is one of these, again, as we've described him before, he's an Alabama gentleman that disturbs a lot of people because he's not sometimes as loud, and he doesn't get, you know, they don't think he's moving quick enough. But as you say, there's a lot of T's and I's to cross and dot and so on and so forth. And clearly that's what's happened here. Let me ask you this. Well, before I ask you about Comey real fast, I want to mention something else. I think a lot of people have lost sight of this. And I just give me a quick perspective on this, please. But interestingly enough, here's a bit of information. Andrew McCabe is a lifelong Republican. Now, he got caught in this whole investigation with the Clinton Foundation and the emails and all this disturbing, the way this was handled, the lies. Of course, there's criminal charges here, we're sure, we believe. But if he's a lifelong Republican, what do you think the motive was here for McCabe? Do you have any idea?
Well, from everything I read, the interesting part of it was he was trying to delay taking any criminal action against Hillary Clinton and her illegal, illicit emails and her server until, you know, he thought she was going to win. And had she won, this would have been just basically turned off and brushed under the rug, so to speak, and nobody would ever heard of it. And you know, when you get into these political dicey situations, you know, I think he looked at it as, I'm going to retire in a year or so, I don't want to get wrapped up and spend my last year in some horrific investigation of Hillary Clinton. And, you know, he served in the Obama, even though he may have been a Republican, he served there. I think personally, he was hoping that this would all just go away had Hillary Clinton been elected and he wouldn't have had to worry about it. And I think his decision to slow roll it and wow. not carry it through kind of caught him up, which in a sense it was, you know, you're an FBI agent and officer, and your job is to do what's right regardless of what the political and slow rolling it so that you could get to your retirement and get out and let it be someone else's problem, if anything.
Yeah, maybe. It's hard to understand.
It's one of those bad decisions. But I think what you're going to find in the IG report, I believe the IG report is going to say criminal action should be taken against McCabe, which
right.
Then that gets back to where Sessions was doing what he was doing, just as you said, in the manner that he does it as a Southern gentleman, crossing the I's, dotting, or crossing the T's, dotting I's, and then making the right decision, which he in the end, he's going to have made the right decision despite what
it looks that way. You know, another interesting piece to this as well, that just yesterday it was reported that Trump's lawyer now, his lawyer, informed and told Fox News that he hopes that Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein will end the Mueller probe after the McCabe firing. So the president now has asked for that again. I think that's going to set them all on fire on the other side as well, saying he's meddling again or what have you. But again, Mueller just asked for the Trump Organization files, which they said they're still cooperating with him. Many believe that's a red line the president has been saying. Don't go too far, Mr. Mueller. There are many people at this point that are calling for Mueller to be fired. But if it is so close to the end, you obviously don't want to do that. But there is speculation as well. He still has another shoe to drop here. Just real fast response to that. I want to get to some other things here. Can you tell me what you think about that?
Well, you know, I certainly see some more either firings or, you know, I'm more looking at, you know, some type of indictments and other kind of criminal investigations on another people, you know. Peter Stroke and Lisa Page are certainly really in the deep here on a number of things, and and their association with the FISA lawyer now that came out. This is just unbelievable. The type of activity, you know, is this going to get to eventually others like Loretta Lynch? And, you know, I think there's going to be material in the IG report that could bring criminal charges against Comey.
That's the question. So somebody's pulling the strings here. Somebody has pulled the strings for all these other leveled employees across the board. I mean, there's a boatload of them, as you say here. Let me ask you about Comey. Why hasn't Comey been charged at this point, and do you think he will be?
I think there's a fairly good chance he will be. I think they may get him on, and I think they may get him on perhaps
being a moron,
lying, perhaps lying, and you know, it all depends on what's in the IG report. You know, like I said,
there's got to be some law. Yeah, but Jim, there's got to be some law against being a moron. Come on, I mean, there's got to be a charge about that. I mean, clearly. So he's got to be up on it at least that much. Come on, Colonel, at least that much.
We'll see.
Exactly, we'll see. All right, let's talk a minute here about the turnover here now, please. And let's so. A lot of big news here about, obviously, it looks like they're revving up to try to give Gina Haspel a hard time, which you have written very passionately about that on America Out Loud. I know a lot of people who just believe that she is absolutely the right one to lead, you know, this organization here. And so what do you think here with Gina and with the CIA now, and with obviously we know Pompeo is going to be Secretary of State. They're not going to be able to hold him back, even though there's talk about that as well. But again, how do you make, I still can't wrap my mind around how you can, you know, pass this guy through confirmations to become the CIA director. I mean, that's not like a low-level position, Colonel, you know? And then you can't approve him to be Secretary of State. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. But Gina Haspel, it looks like they're revving up to talk about all this, which we've talked about on the platform. We've had experts on about the waterboarding and In fact, Dr. James Mitchell has been on this. He was on our news program this week talking about this here program with Haspel. He gives her high kudos. And you as well do, correct?
Well, yeah. Having worked in the intelligence community, I know her from a number of assignments that I worked on, and I do speak in high regard of her. And I think, the way I looked at it, when President Trump named her as deputy director last January, over a year ago after he was inaugurated, when that move to me was critical, because here you had a senior career 31-year-old at the time officer in the CIA. I knew right then and there she was going to be eventually set up as the CIA director. And the reason he brought Pompeo in was because he was highly respected and regarded in Washington on both sides. And so that's what he needed to. He had to get Brennan out, and he had to have a senior manager in there to start cleaning house in the CIA and going through policies that needed to be removed and changed and updated from the Obama administration.
Listen, in the couple moments we have left on this segment here, I want to talk to you about McMaster. A lot of talk that, well, McMaster, Shulkin, and Kelly. I'm surprised by Chief of Staff Kelly, because he just came out a few weeks ago and was like saying he was going to be there till the end, and he's just like, and there's a lot of speculation that his days are sort of near the end, which is, you don't even know if these sources are accurate or not. They're all over the place. Half of them are leaked, half of them, it's like a sip over there, I mean, with information. But I want to ask you specifically, McMaster. I know you've not been a real big fan of McMaster. Tell me what you think is going to happen there. There's speculation that John Bolton will replace him as National Security Advisor. What do you think?
Well, you're right. Just to start off, there's a lot of speculation on everything with Bolton coming in. He's been seen at the White House a number of times in recent months over for visits. So whether those were interviews or whether he was meeting with NSC people remains somewhat unknown. Real quick on Kelly, I think he's going to be around for a while. I think that's a lot of speculation. On McMaster, here's the thing about McMaster. Regardless of whether he got along with Trump or not, certainly he's remained there since last February, and he's been there over a year. So whatever was, it obviously worked out. Otherwise, I think Trump would have removed him.
20 senior administrative folks have been either fired, resigned, or reassigned, and as we've been reporting on. So a lot of changes, obviously, which has a lot of reasons why that's happening. But it is interesting to see what's going to happen here with McMaster, Kelly, even. Shulkin is definitely going to go. I think you agree with that. I think they're going to put someone else in the VA, that role. But there's a lot of reasons why, clearly. Real fast, I only got like 30 seconds left on this. Tell me real quickly, Brennan, there's an interesting tweet in the last couple of days that John Brennan put out with the president, which really was an eye-opener. What was that?
Well, he basically called the president out and said his decision to fire McCabe was just a really bad decision. And he used some pretty hard words. I think it just is political play on his part, being that he's basically speaking for Obama. That's what he's done his whole term while he was CIA director. So I just see it as just totally political. It was kind of sanctimonious in the way he said it, and kind of holier than thou, and Trump already responded back to him and basically saying just what I said. He says, your comment was pretty sanctimonious, and basically told him to you know, just shut up and go away.
Along with hashtag go to hell, right? Okay. Pretty much here. Big thank you to Colonel Jim Warshak. He'll be back a little bit later in the program with us in a panel discussion we'll have on that. There's so much happening here. Friends, up next here, North Korea we'll take on. We want to talk about Kim Jong-un, President Donald Trump, the summit, the meeting that is to come yet. We'll be right back in just a moment.
The America Out Loud Talk Radio app is on Android or Apple. It's the perfect way to listen in to the new generation of talk shows and hosts who are ready to inform and inspire.
Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. We are back on Viewpoint this Sunday. North Korea is certainly a big story here. This summit meeting with Kim Jong-un and President Donald Trump was clearly, this is probably the biggest news story of the year. Of course, that changes on a daily basis, but we'll see if that continues. We're all anxious now to see what happens next as they're working behind the scenes with the North Korea to get this summit in place. There's a lot of moving pieces, and you have to remember up front that we don't have normal relationship and ties to North Korea, so there's not the connectivity as normally we would have with another country. It does not exist here, so all of that has to be worked out as well as they're doing that. I'd like you to welcome to the show here, IQ Al Razuli is here. He's author of Lifting the Veil. Of course, as you know, IQ, he was born, this Arabic speaker was born in Baghdad, considered one of the foremost authorities in the world on the subjects of Islam. As you know, his trilogy, Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, is clearly a must-read for everybody to really get the sense of that, so much that a lot of our military guys read IQ's information. He's well-informed. Also, Ilana Friedman, delighted to have Ilana here. She's a strategic counterterrorism intelligence analyst. She trained in Israel. She focuses on the impact of terrorism and its threat to America and the West. I've never had Ilana and IQ on together, so this should be an incredible treat for all of us here. Welcome to the show here. North Korea. Here's one of the things I want to say up front here. So it seems to me, in regards to North Korea, the media seems to have, you don't hear a lot of excitement about this out there. The media seems to have reduced this to, very limited coverage. I wonder, IQ, do you think this is because it's potentially, obviously, a huge feather in President Trump in his campaign to obviously make America great, the MAGA people out there? Do you think so they're sort of playing this down a little bit as not a big deal?
If Trump succeeds in eliminating the atomic weapons of North Korea, the Democratic Party will not be elected for the next 200 years.
You did say that. Yeah, that was a pretty outrageous statement you made.
I might be exaggerating with the 200 years, but I'm telling you, for foreseeable future, they don't have a chance.
Interesting. Ilana, you hear that. And you have to love, IQ is so honest. That, well, I may be exaggerating on the 200 years slightly, but, you know, it will happen more or less. Yeah. What do you think about that, Ilana? What do you think?
Well, you know, I've been puzzling. About what made this change in the whole approach of Kim Jong-un. And I couldn't understand it at the beginning until I started doing some research into what was going on, and it turns out that China was putting a great deal of pressure on him, and that may be part of it. And then I found out about the dangerous mountain under which they've been carrying out these tests. That has the capability of possibly exploding.
Yeah, Ilana, stop there a moment. I want to talk about that. Okay. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. That's a beautiful segue. Let's because that's a big deal. I want to talk about this right now. Now, I want you to tell folks, Ilana, the mountain you're speaking about. You have a fantastic column on America Out Loud right now about this. Which this mountain is, I understand, it's pretty close to China. How close is this to China? geographically?
About 50, 60 miles away from the Chinese border.
Wow, that's such a drive for morning coffee. So tell folks what's happening.
Good road.
Yeah, tell folks what's happening with this mountain exactly and what the danger is, Ilana.
Well, they have been carrying out nuclear tests inside the mountain. It's a little complicated story, but there's a prison camp, hard labor, terrible, terrible conditions. And the prisoners who are held in this camp, and I had said in my article there were hundreds, they're actually something estimated at over 20,000 prisoners. Mm-hmm. Not only the people who were accused and convicted in the North Korean justice system, which doesn't exist, but their families, their children, they're all there. And they're very, very badly treated. But these people built, with the slave labor, built the into the mountain, built huge tunnels, testing chambers, and so forth for the nuclear tests. And North Korea has carried out six tests, five of them from inside the mountain. And
right.
What's happened is the mountain is now considered to be suffering from what they call tired mountain syndrome.
Wow.
The rock that makes this mountain strong has started to crumble. The people who are expert in nuclear issues have suggested that it is possible that should they continue to test in there, that the mountain will actually collapse. And in fact, in the last test, which Kim said was a hydrogen bomb, very powerful, seven times more powerful than the bomb that fell on Hiroshima.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Hiroshima. And that's what they tested in there. And they actually saw a section of the top of the mountain fall or shift.
Wow.
So there is the possibility, considering how many tests. I think they've done six tests, and five of them were done from deep inside the mountain.
Wow.
And so if the mountain collapses, if they continue to test and the mountain collapses, what's going to happen is that a hole will open up and all this toxic nuclear material that's inside the mountain is going to suddenly be in the air.
And it's going to be all over China as well as North Korea, clearly, because it's that
close.
Yeah,
we don't know how far the cloud will drift, but it's clearly a danger to everybody in the
entire area. Wow, what a story that is, I have to tell you. And it just shows you in many ways that, you know, in many ways these guys are novice with this thing, IQ. They really don't know what the hell they're doing, clearly. They've been testing this stuff for years. But again, let's take a look at that a moment, because as you study back over through multiple administrations here in the States, you know, they've kicked this can so far down the road when it comes to North Korea because none of them have had the courage. Let's just use the word courage. We could use a lot of other adjectives there, but they don't have the courage to be able to get into the face of Kim Jong-un. And so they've buckled all the time and they throw all these useless things out there and these demands and they're never followed through. And now you've got, like I said, I consider them novice in this experiments they're doing out there. And then IQ, you take North Korea and then you take a look at Iran and you see the relationship they've had, which Ilana talks about all the time with North Korea and Iran, and how they kind of are, you know, sisters and brothers in this whole, you know, desire to have nuclear weapons to disrupt the world. So here's what I want to know. With this upcoming talk now, do you think these are just peace talks or more of a focus on the nuclear weapons and rockets to dismantle these? And or is could this potentially be something on the scale of like German unification in the 90s with North and South Korea? There's been a lot of talk about that as well, about, you know, the change in face of Asia, the redrawing of this map. What are your thoughts?
I've always questioned why China would allow North Korea to go nuclear. Because all they had to do is tell America, you interfere with them, and that's war against us. And to protect him. What Kim wants is a guarantee that his regime will last. This is not North Korea, East and West German. All we need at the moment, all Trump needs to do is actually stop the proliferation of the atomic weapons there and stop the missiles. And that's it. That alone is worth everything. That alone is worth it. I'm not worried. I'm not interested whether they have unification. They can have that later on. The most important single item at the moment is if North Korea is reined in, the next focus will be Iran.
Right. Do you think that North Korea, I mean, do you think the chances, looking at this relationship as it is, what will it take for Kim Jong-un to denuclearize? What will it take?
That's the guarantee that he will not be invaded, literally. Right. That's all he wants. He wants his regime to continue. He most probably will ask for more help, financial. Okay.
Yeah.
For as long as he is following the agreement, mm-hmm. not the peace, the agreement, okay, do it. Otherwise, the threat will continue.
The problem is he's never followed anything before. I mean, he gives a lot of empty rhetoric out there and doesn't follow through with a damn thing. Is that a concern of yours, IQ? How would we, and we don't, you know, even having inspectors there would be a challenge in North Korea.
It will not be with Trump. Trump will make sure.
I see.
There is absolutely no doubt in my mind anyway.
Okay.
Trump will make sure there will be no fail-safe. I mean, it will be fail-safe. There will be inspection, that will be part of the agreement, and the minute he breaks any of these rules, mm-hmm. the game is over. And I think Kim understands that Trump is not a pushover.
Right.
Trump has swore to the American people. Whatever he promised them, he tried to do.
Okay. All right. Ilana, pick up on that and tell me what you agree with, what you don't agree with as far as this goes. Because right now, what we've done with North Korea is they've said uncle finally. And this, and IQ's point is well taken. China, and you've reported on this as well, it was a major piece of this thing. The relationship with Xi Jinping and President Trump is significant here. And the level of sanctions that has happened this time around have been as serious as they've ever been. And this has really created a challenge for the dictator in North Korea. What do you think about everything he lays out? Yeah, tell me.
First of all, I agree completely that Kim Jong-un's first and primary motivation is to stay in power. He's a megalomaniac, and he, you know, like his father, like his grandfather, that is the first priority, staying in power. And I guess the decision was made a long time ago that the way to do this was to become a nuclear nation. Hmm. And in doing that, they teamed up with Iran, who was having a lot of pressure from the United Nations and from the United States to have inspections. So they started moving their nuclear program, parts of it, over into North Korea, where they couldn't be inspected. And they've essentially been collaborating for many years. He's not only getting pressure from the United States, but he's getting a lot of pressure from China. And they've threatened to cut off his money supply. Mm-hmm. And that could actually pose a significant threat to his staying in power, because if the army is not being paid, there is a good chance that they will have a coup on their hands.
Right. Well
so
said.
There are all kinds of issues. And then, of course, there's, you know, the mountain, Mount Montap, that could, if they continue their nuclear explosions, it could collapse and cause a different kind of calamity. So he's got a lot on his plate, and I think he's scared. It's a good time to go after him.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well said. That would be interesting, the timing of that mountain, Ilana. That would be a real interesting game changer, and obviously would get Kim Jong-un to buckle even more, probably. With the change now with Tillerson being removed as Secretary of State, there was a lot of conversation that Trump wanted. He wanted the right team in place prior to this North Korea deal happening, and he was not comfortable with Tillerson. He just wasn't there with him. And now with Pompeo, Secretary of State has to go through confirmations process and all of that. What do you think happens there, Ilana? Do you think? I mean, what's your guess? Obviously they need Pompeo in place now. Now Tillerson doesn't really expire to the end of the month, officially,
right.
Even though he's sort
that's
of out
only,
of there.
It's only a couple of weeks, though. I for one was happy to see Tillerson go. I think he was very much a part of the old establishment of the State Department, mm-hmm. and I think the way that has been the State Department has been running itself. Has been not in America's best interest.
You know, with all of this being said, IQ, I think here's the challenge that comes to my mind listening to Ilana now. Pompeo has to go through all these confirmations. They're saying potentially in April. Of course, this thing can drag on. I mean, but there's a sense of urgency with the North Korea summit meeting having to be in play and needing a Secretary of State that is up on all of these points here. And then you've got the confirmations of Gina Haspel, the deputy director, to get into the role of the CIA director as well, which there's a lot of controversy there as well, which we've been talking about consistently here. IQ, is it possible. I mean, do you think that everybody gets the gravity of this, or do you think that potentially some of the Democrats and certainly that the confirmation hearings get slowed down, Pompeo, just to throw a wrench into this whole deal, which, you know, you kind of shake your head and say, would they really do that? And I ask you that question, sir.
Yes, they would, if they're stupid. If they're stupid, but they have been showing themselves to be stupid all along anyway. This is a dangerous time. They shouldn't play politics. Trump should have the right people, that he thinks they are the right people, to confront North Korea. Another item, McMaster should believe also. McMaster is not good for America.
Yeah, tell me, I want you to follow that up with why, because I just talked to Colonel Warshak about that in the opening part of the show here. Tell me why McMaster, because he also has not been a fan of his. Tell me why he needs to go, please.
Simple. He doesn't understand Islam. He honestly believes. The guy was in Afghanistan. He was in Iraq. He was involved in the wars. And yet he has absolutely no idea about Islam. He honestly believes the radical Muslims are the exception. Big mistake. There is no such thing as a radical, extremist, militant, or moderate Muslim. Islam is one belief system. Muslim, you're either a Muslim or you are an infidel. There are no shades in between.
You know, this is a topic that, as you can hear already with the expertise of IQ and Ilana, we could talk for days on. Ilana, you've got to comment back on what IQ is saying, because this is, what do you think, near and dear to you?
Well, I would agree. In the United States, there is a group of, not a group, but a population that of Muslims who honestly believe that Islam can be modernized to be a more moderate religion. And they're working very hard to change the perception of Islam. But the reality is that the underpinnings of the Islamic movement, which is global, is very specific in being radical, in wanting to take over the world, and in laying down plans, even in the United States, to take over the country and make it an Islamic country. That's very, very radical. This is what I wrote about in my book. That was what the book was all about. So IQ is absolutely right that this is an ideology which is radical.
Tell folks right now, because your book is a new book, the title again of the book, please. I want everybody to hear it.
Yeah, the title is Hamas Care and the Muslim Brotherhood, The Plot to Destroy America.
Okay. That, between that book and the trilogy, Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, that IQ has, you will be well-informed, friends, to get both of this here going on. Friends, coming up next here, we have a big discussion. We're going to look at the midterms of 2018, the election coming up here. What happened in Pennsylvania as well? What's that all about? And let's talk about this lawsuit for the immigration policy that Sessions has against the state of California. More Viewpoint, just a moment.
We are the vision of the voices. You can email us at talk@americaoutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
We are back on Viewpoint this Sunday, and this is a busy, busy news day, my friends, and I want to bring our panel right on here to talk about several of the things, including the midterms, the Pennsylvania race, the results of that, and so many other things. Let's get started here. Again here, please welcome back here, Colonel Jim Warshak is back with us. He's retired from United States Air Force. He's a career senior intelligence and special missions officer, served as deputy director for intelligence for U.S. Central Command, and has worked on the White House National Security Council. Dr. Stephen Steinlight is here. He's a senior policy analyst at the Center for Immigration Studies in Washington, D.C. He is one of the nation's leading authorities on immigration trends, policies, and the politics behind it all. Ava Armstrong is here. Ava is a political commentator, radio personality, producer, and she's a best-selling author who writes about the everyday men and women, well, a lot of military, a lot of law enforcement, folks who focus on patriotism. Good to have all of you here for this discussion here. Let's open it up with the Pennsylvania race here a moment here. So this was a very unusual race in Pennsylvania for this congressional seat. A lot of money was spent. A lot of words were exchanged here. I want to start with this here. There was a special report we had during the week that potentially, and I want the colonel to comment on this, but before I ask the colonel to comment on this, Ava, I want you to put out there with me. There was comments about Paul Ryan and potentially that he was supporting the candidate, the Democratic candidate, Connor Lamb, I believe it is, yeah? Can you comment on that at all? And let's see if the colonel knows anything about this story.
Well, the GOP has sort of a slush fund that they use. Paul Ryan has the purse strings to that. And it's been rumored or reported rather widely. Rush Limbaugh actually reported it yesterday, and I followed up on that. Some money was donated to Connor Lamb from that fund. And quite a few people were surprised by that.
Yeah, this is a Colonel Warshak. This is a called a Congressional Leadership Super PAC, if you will. Do you know anything about this story? Have you heard any rumblings about this at all?
I pretty much heard the same thing, that Ryan was involved, and it was from a a PAC that he has ties to. It's very well likely that occurred. I think in the coming days we may hear more about that, but. It would certainly send a message to voters in Pennsylvania, you know, particularly since President Trump was there just prior to the election, as were a number of his senior officials. So it looks like this perhaps was an effort to counter Trump, which is not good. Now, you got to look at the candidate, too, Mr. Lamb. He's a former Marine, and he has got some, you know, conservative credentials, so to speak, and he supported Trump in a number of ways. So, you know, it was very unusual for the Democrats to allow him to play the way he did, because they've been pushing everyone to go left.
Exactly.
And the real indicator that I'm looking for here is this going to be a trend that the Democrats are going to try to use to get back on track? How does he conduct himself once, if he is in fact elected? Does he stay at the center, or does he go to the left? And that will be,
well, that is the million dollar question. That is the million dollar question. Dr. Steven Steinlau, you hear all this, a great setup from Colonel Warshak there on this Paul Ryan thing. Listen, what do you think? Talk to me a moment, Dr. Steinlau, about Paul Ryan as speaker and Mitch McConnell as well. Now, a lot of conservatives about had their full of both of these guys and would like to see them both leave Washington. They're not happy with either. And then this story, if there's truth to it, about the super PAC that Paul Ryan is involved in potentially supporting the other candidate, would just about, I mean, that would tip it all over to the side. What do you think about this story? And what do you think further about Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell? Are you a fan? Do you like? Should they stay there, or should they pack their bags?
Well, you know, Malcolm, I'm coming from this to this from the point of view of someone who works on immigration policy. The leadership of the Republican Party has been as much an opponent of those of us who are trying to restore American sovereignty and the rule of law as has the leadership of the Democratic Party. If you go back and you look at all the major comprehensive quote-unquote immigration reform bills, which would have amnestied everybody here, doubled legal immigration, I mean, essentially ended America as we know it, all of those things have been supported by the GOP leadership, because they're business-friendly, and that's what it's about. The Democrats want the majority for political purposes. The GOP, unfortunately, I don't think they're looking too far. You know, they want to support it for their business interests. But if the left really takes this country far left, they're going to have sold the rope with which they're going to be hung. I regard McConnell and Ryan as ultimate Machiavells, as people with basically no principles other than defending incumbency, particularly their own. And if you look where they stand on any issue, you push too hard, there's kind of nothing there. I can say that immigration, I wouldn't even use the word conservatives. I would say people who believe in the rule of law have long regarded these people with utter cynicism.
Wow.
Perfectly said.
There you go again, Dr. Stahlein, mixing your words. So, I mean, that was putting it out there, my friend. That was putting it out there. Let me stay with Dr. Stahlein just a moment.
I don't want to be judgmental or anything.
Exactly. We appreciate that. Let me stay with you just a moment here, speaking of the immigration, because what you say, a lot of people would endorse when it comes to Ryan and McConnell. That puts it, ties it right to the policy and puts the proof where it really needs to be. Let me talk a moment about Jeff Sessions again. There's been a lot of conversation, and before I ask the Colonel and Ava what they think about Sessions now and the kind of job he's doing, a lot of conservatives and Republicans have not been happy with the Attorney General. There's even talk that, Ava, you talk about in a moment about Pruitt. I want to talk about that in a moment here. But in regards to some of the recent moves now, of course, with the position, Dr. Stahlein, that he has removed, fired Andrew McCabe, was really a pass off to the conservative movement that, you know, there is some sort of rule of law. And now with his immigration suing the state of California and all that's happened with that, talk to me a moment about your view of Sessions and what you think about that suit in California, please.
Well, first of all, I have the highest regard for the Attorney General. He was one of our greatest supporters in the Senate. We managed to beat back in 2007, again, those two bills, 1348 and 1639, that would have made America. It was Jeff Sessions that led that battle. Mm-hmm. He's a person of, I think, great personal integrity. Sometimes it even hurts him because he is purer than Caesar's wife. When it comes to his integrity, for example, you know, recusing himself, which infuriated the president, which led to the appointment of the special counsel. I can understand from the president's standpoint that politically that was a dangerous move. But from Sessions' point of view, and I know Jeff Sessions, it was simply the right ethical choice. What I'm hoping is, look, it may be that his epitaph is already written, because of the this unending, you know, there's no there, but this unending search for some kind of collusion culpability, which I think we all know doesn't exist. I'm hoping maybe he can win his spurs back by this tremendous upcoming battle with the state of California. You know, the federal government is suing the state of California, suing three bills passed by their state Senate, all of which, with the exception perhaps of one, but we could split some hairs, okay, essentially challenge federal supremacy. This is as basic as it gets. California is behaving like a secessionist state. This is sort of the Confederate state of California.
Right.
And Sessions very powerfully reminded, I'm sure everyone read those remarks, which I thought were fabulous, that he gave to law enforcement in Sacramento. He said, there's no nullification. There's no secession. If you don't know that, I suggest you go to Gettysburg or the tombs of Calhoun and Abraham Lincoln. This matter is settled. So I think if he's tough as nails, if we can break California on this, and I think, by the way, that we have something, we have an ally coming here, and it always is our great ally, and that is the great state of Texas, which has been our firewall on immigration. Governor Abbott has been a terrific person, and now, as you know, we have the toughest anti-sanctuary law in the country was upheld by the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans, admittedly a conservative court, but, you know, hey, you know, you go where you can go.
Interesting.
They have upheld it. It will certainly go to the Supreme Court, and this empowers police to ask people for their immigration status in routine stops. They threw out objections based on racial profiling, and it also wonderfully says if officials interfere with the lawful actions of organizations like the police and ICE, they are subject to arrest.
Interesting. All right, Dr. Steinle, you know, I've never, interesting when you say, and you made me think a bit here on multiple levels, but certainly with Texas being a firewall, I've never heard that put, but that's interesting. And you know, it made me think a moment, what if Texas was as reckless as California has been back to immigration? We would be in a, we'd be in a total mess here. I mean, you're so right when you say that, and I don't think a lot of us are looking at that in that way, but we probably should. Well said. Before Colonel, you respond, I'm anxious to get your thoughts on what Dr. Steinle says. But Ava, I want you to chime in here first, please. You have been very outspoken about the Attorney General, about and so many others who follow you and in political circles are not happy with the Attorney General. Back to the reclusion of Russia, which the doctor points out, which he's exactly right, and with other factors that he's not moving fast enough, quick enough, that this Alabama Southern gentleman, which the colonel keeps saying, well, just chill and give him time here, which is what Dr. Steinle is saying. You sent me a message earlier, too, about Pruitt, and you think there might be some rumblings that he is going to be removed. Comment on that, Ava, what you really think about this.
I'm looking at the chess pieces on the board, and I'm looking at it from Trump's vantage point, not from my own. I think that Trump views Sessions as a wounded bird, okay? He's recused himself, and now he can no longer rule over Rod Rosenstein, okay? And that's the real key kingpin here is Rosenstein, because Rosenstein is the one that rules over Mueller. So you have to really look at what President Trump is looking at now. This is a very triangulated situation where he's being pressured to give his personal finances now from his companies. This has nothing to do with anything in the presidency. And I think this
outrage.
It's so illegal on the face of it. But President Trump has only two options here now. You have to look at it from his vantage point. He either fires Mueller, and you know what that will ensue, okay? That's mm-hmm. a bad decision. Mm-hmm. It would be the easy decision. But he needs to get somebody in that attorney general seat that can truly prosecute, okay? Mm-hmm. And somebody who can rule over Rosenstein. Mm-hmm. And thus rule over Mueller. So I think you're going to see a switch happen very quickly. There are a couple of pieces of law that will allow President Trump to make that move without the Senate approval.
Well, I'll tell you what, on that point, Ava, you say, Colonel, in the last 24 hours, the president, his attorneys, and others have asked Rosenstein, who's now the acting director in all of this Russia business, that is mad, as you say, Dr. Steinle, totally mad and ridiculous. He has asking him, I've seen multiple messages already in the last 24 hours now, to stop the, what you just said, Ava, to stop the madness. And fire Mueller now maybe fire is the wrong word, but to end the investigation, to get Rosenstein to step up and say, you know what, this is done and we're through here. So, Colonel, pick that up now with what you've just heard said here and with Rosenstein himself. And what really happens with, you've got Attorney General back to the chess pieces, the president who's not happy, Rosenstein with where he's at, the president's request that he needs to do this. What do you think?
Let me lay it out as far as the chess pieces. President Trump likes to play chess, but he plays it on one of these multi-level games, where it's stacked with five games going on at one time, and he's playing it precisely the way he wants. And I say this because, one, I stand by what the Attorney General's doing from the standpoint of, one, President Trump was not in a position from day one on January 20th, 2017, to go in there and have his Attorney General start to try to clean house because, one, he didn't have the evidence behind anything to do that. Granted, there was everything in the media, the conservative media, about there was bad things going on. But you just can't willy-nilly fire people because you automatically say they're doing wrong. And I'm not talking about the political appointees. I'm talking about the next layer down who are senior rank-and-file people. And he needed them to be able to testify, so to speak, against the senior levels. And that's what's been going on for the last year. I think what you're going to see with regard to Rosenstein, he's been allowed to go out on a limb as far as he can. And I go back to the IG report that's going to be coming out, the DOJ IG report. And I think there's going to be information in that report that's going to give credence to be able to justifiably get rid of Rosenstein. It's going to be basically it's going to be revealed that, yeah, this guy is not anything any better than McCabe was or anybody else. I also think he's letting Mueller go out on a limb too, as Ava said, going after his finances, and they're not going to find anything. I think people are going to get tired of Mueller going on these, you know, down these rabbit holes on things. They all know there's nothing on the Russia collusion thing. The guy is spending millions of taxpayers' dollars because he's got an open checkbook to do this. And I think once these indictments start coming out pretty regularly, it's going to be obvious to most people that the investigation needs to stop, and it will be stopped.
What's your forecast for the midterms? We've just seen here how the public, they don't have a lot of patience anymore for this nonsense. And the Make America Great people are definitely restless right now, I have to tell you, which is the movement. It is a movement in this country. What do you see happening right now between now and this midterm?
Oh, God, this is an enigma and a mystery. It really is so hard to tell. You know, I was reading something that Pat Buchanan wrote yesterday. And, we're looking at an economy that's so great. And then people always say, well, it's the economy, stupid. But you know what? When the economy is really good, people don't think about the economy. The president's done some spectacular things. Mm-hmm. But you really have a country which is, I think, in some respects, it's deep in ideological war right now. We have a civil war going on in this country. We have people who hate this president beyond description. I live in New York. I live on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Mm-hmm. I am a freak here in this community. People loathe this president. They regard him as illegitimate. And on the other side, there is this enormous passion for what he represents. I think the interesting thing is going to be, and I don't know. I don't see the forecasts of this great blue tide. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I think the Republicans will hold the House and hold the Senate, but not by much. It's going to be a cliffhanger.
Right.
And the problem, I think, is that it's this personal hatred of the president.
Yep. You know,
it's not what Trump does. It's what Trump says that people don't want.
Exactly.
So that's what he prayed.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
My fear is that you're going to get a bunch of Trojan horses out there pulling to the right. Now, the ones who go left, I think they're going to go over a cliff.
Yeah.
But the question is, how many are going to play it low and dirty? And if they do that, they might succeed.
All right. Well, we are out of time here, but I got to tell you, that is so well said, Dr. Steinlein, and I could not agree more with you. One footnote for programming, IQ Al Razzulli and Ilana Friedman were amazing in the earliest segment, so much that they will be on our Nozzle News program, our nightly news program at 6 p.m., Eastern Standard Time, this coming Thursday, the 22nd. Tune in and you'll see Ilana and IQ, and that will be a riveting talk. We hope you join us every evening at 6 p.m. on Nozzle as we do our form of nightly news, which is what we call the Out Loud Truth here, friends. Thank you again for being part of this story here. The America Out Loud story continues. And Viewpoint this Sunday will always deliver an honest analysis and opinions on all sides of the political aisle. We don't discriminate against an opinion. The main thing is we are always in search of the out loud truth.